Dear God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Feels like it's been a long time since we've been here. We did some traveling, and I had a bout with COVID, a very mild bout with COVID. But all is good now, and it's good to be here this morning. In today's gospel reading, Jesus told his disciples a parable about the need to pray always and not to lose heart. Luke's introduction of the parable brings to mind two men, two very different men, men of different periods of history and of very different temperaments. And yet they both devoted their lives to the care and the defense of the most vulnerable, and they were both champions of Jesus Christ. When I read the first sentence of today's gospel, my mind immediately went to Francis of Assisi and Adam Clayton Powell Jr. of New York. When Luke said Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray and always lose heart, I heard Francis say, "Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words." I heard Reverend Powell say, "Keep the faith, baby." I heard him say, "Press forward at all times, climbing forward toward that higher ground of the harmonious society that shapes the laws of man to the laws of God." A few years after Powell's death, Jesse Jackson coined the phrase, "Keep hope alive," a more modern term for "keep the faith, baby." The message of Francis was that our actions must be consistent with our words, and that our actions and deeds speak louder than our words. Powell's message was not to give up. Never give up. We must persevere. It did not escape my attention that the parable Jesus told his disciples about prayer makes no statements about what we traditionally think about when we think of prayer. There's no mention of kneeling in this parable. There's no mention of the woman speaking to God or asking God for anything. She is not given any pious attributes. There's no mention of meditation or questioning. Nothing to suggest what we typically think of when we think of prayer. Why? Is there a disconnect between Luke's introduction and Jesus' parable? I don't think so. Was Luke confused? I don't think so. Was his introduction to the parable placed in front of the wrong parable during the translation or publication? Again, I don't think so. This morning, I'm going to challenge you to look at prayer differently than you have in the past. Mother Teresa said, "Prayer without action is not prayer at all." Prayer without action is not prayer at all. That is what I gleaned from the parable this morning. The woman's actions were her prayers. The woman's consistently and persistently going back to the judge to demand justice and righteousness was her prayer in and of itself. Getting on your knees and communicating with God is a beautiful thing. Quieting your mind and opening your heart to God can be transformative. It can be energizing. It can be enlightening. When done as a part of a community, it can be unifying. But if that is all you do, prayer at the very best can be self-interest, and at worst, it can be an excuse not to follow through on God's commandment and what he calls us to do. During the movement, a ritual developed. Prior to all demonstrations or marches or acts of civil disobedience, people would engage in traditional prayer. People would gather in a church or on a corner or in a pool hall or anywhere, any place that was available, and they would pray. Some would sit, some would stand, some would kneel, and the person praying, the person given the responsibility to speak to God, would be the one talking. But all would join in unison. All would say, "You preach, you pray, you go, please God, amen." And at some point, typically, someone would start to hum. And then all the people in that group would start to hum together. And then that hum, they would break out in song. Songs like "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." Songs like "We Shall Overcome." Songs like "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." And then they would get up and they would go out and they would proceed to do their duty to themselves, to their God, and to their people. They would face policemen's billy clubs and dogs and fire hoses. They faced water hoses that tore the clothing from their bodies and police dogs that tore the flesh from their limbs, from their bones. And those actions, that was their prayer. That was their prayer for justice and freedom. That was their prayers for the end of racism and persecution. They were prayers for brighter days. They were prayers to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And the prayers they did with their feet were the same as the prayers they did on their knees. During the height of the Civil Rights Movement, the prominent rabbi, Abraham Joshua Heschel, joined Martin Luther King on his march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. When the rabbi returned home from the march, he was asked, "Did you get much time to pray while you were in Selma?" It was actually a trick question. You see, it is incumbent upon a Jew, a male Jew, to say certain prayers at certain times of the day, every day. The religious Jewish community was not united in support of Heschel's activities with Martin King and the Civil Rights Movement. The questioner was implying that Heschel's commitment and involvement in the movement was preventing him from fulfilling his commitment and his responsibilities as a rabbi. The situation, the questioning, was reminiscent of the Pharisees confronting Jesus. Heschel responded, "I prayed with my feet. I prayed with my feet." Heschel's point was that his protesting, his marching, his speaking was his prayer. His active fight for justice, for the protection of the vulnerable, was his greatest prayer of all. My brothers and sisters, prayer is more than what we do with our mouths. Prayer is more than what we do on our knees. It is what we do with our feet. I reiterate that traditional prayer is a wonderful thing and indeed is commanded by God. However, it is important to remember that when we do anything to make this world a better place, when we use our feet, that is powerful prayer. We should pray with our feet and with our legs and with our arms, not just our knees, and not just with our bodies. We should pray with everything we have. With our pens, with our computers, with our wallets, with our investments. We should pray with everything we have to forward God's kingdom on earth. The woman in the parable this morning did not pray on her knees in a temple or in a garden. No, she went to the judge on his turf and persistently pursued justice. Her actions were her prayers. I, for one, am sick and tired and frustrated and angry and outraged by the misuse of prayer in our society today. Somehow, as a society, we have come to believe that prayer is a justified substitute for action. That if we pray about something, we are absolved from responsibility to do something. Thus, after every mass shooting, many of our prominent politicians proclaim that their thoughts and prayers are with the families of the victims of the slaughter. Then they go back to business as usual, doing nothing to address what caused the massacres or the instruments that were used to cause the carnage. They behave and they talk as though praying absolves them of any responsibility to act. Everything I know and feel about my Jesus tells me to stand up and refute the notion that traditional prayer negates our responsibility to act. Acting is a part of prayer. It is not apart from prayer. Pope Francis said, "Prayer that does not lead to concrete action toward our brothers is a fruitless and incomplete prayer." Prayer and action must always be profoundly connected. And remember, never forget that prayers are not always answered instantly. Progress is not always quick or constant or consistent. But truth crushed to the earth temporarily, I believe, will ultimately rise again. Jesus promised us that he will never, ever leave us alone. He promised us that he will never leave us and never forsake us. We live in some difficult times. We live in times where to keep hope alive is a difficult task. We live in a period of American history where many of us feel we are involved in a great march backwards. Back to a time when racism and sexism flourished. We have been taken back to a time when a woman did not have the right to control her own body or determine her own destiny. Many of us thought that the Civil War had been fought and that the forces that fought for freedom and all, from all men had won. Now we see the Confederate flag emerging from the shadows and being proudly flown again. Many of us thought that the ideas of Nazism had been crushed to the ground and were only espoused by a few nuts in the underground. Now we see the symbols of Nazism being proudly displayed by people marching through our streets, and people carrying the swastika being proclaimed as good people by a president of the United States of America. Yes, it is easy to lose faith under present circumstances. And if you think my dismay is the result exclusively of those on the right, you are mistaken. Those on the extreme left are just as dangerous to our freedoms, to our dignity, and to our existence. Those on the far left are just as rigid, just as controlling, just as intolerant, and just as dangerous as those on the far right. But we must keep the faith. We must keep hope alive. We must endeavor to do what our parents did. They left us a better world than they found. They were not perfect, but they, as a collective, left us with a better world than they found. Through their blood, sweat, and tears, America made some huge and great and phenomenal strides. But we must be like the woman in the parable. We must keep going back and demanding justice and righteousness, even though, like the woman in the parable, our adversaries may be godless and have no respect for other people. We must be the people of Jesus. We are the people of the way. We are the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement. And we must do it every single day. We must pray for love both on our knees and beseech God and when we are on our feet and in the community. We cannot give up and we cannot give in. We must keep the faith. And how do we change the world? We cannot all be Francis of Assisi. We cannot all be Mother Teresa or Adam Clayton Powell. We cannot all be on the world stage like Martin King. What can we do to change the world? We can visit the sick. We can feed the hungry. We can be kind to our neighbor. We can welcome the refugee. We can vote. We can bend down to help a child. We can be like Jesus. We can be Jesus on a daily basis in our homes, in our community, in the church, and in the grocery store. We can be the arms and hands of Jesus. We can be, in the words of the prophet Micah, we can do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before our God. We can be the voice of Jesus. We can listen to the words of Timothy, articulated and read to you this morning by Otis. And I want to read a part, because what Timothy wrote, what Otis read, is eerily relevant today. Proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine. But having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. As for you, always be sober, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. The time that Timothy spoke about is now. That time, this is the time when men and women are hearing what they want to hear rather than reality. We all, left or right, seem to live in our own echo chambers, only seeking out information that tells us what we need to hear to justify and rationalize our own interests and behaviors. Even in the midst of this negativity, we must be the people of Jesus. We must seek out truth and act out of love. We must pray, fully pray. The same God that delivered the Jews from bondage in Egypt is the God that we serve today. The God of Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel. The same God that was present with the men and women who challenged the system of apartheid in America's South. Most importantly, we must walk the walk that Jesus taught. So, my brothers and sisters, pray always and pray with everything you have. And keep the faith, baby. Keep hope alive. Amen.